Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message. John chapter 5, I won't be long with you tonight, but let's pray and we'll get going. Lord, we thank you for your word, that it's a lamp unto our feet and it's a light unto our path. Lord, I pray that tonight, God, as we as men, Lord, broke bread together, fellowshiped, had a little fun. God, as we get in the Word of God, I just pray that in this room is men that has a fervor for you. I pray that in this room that has men full of zeal for the Word of God. I pray that in this room is men that are standing up for what you have called them to be. Stand up inside of their families and their workplace. Lord, I pray that you direct their steps. They hear your voice and the voice of a stranger. They will and shall not follow. In Jesus' name, amen. In John chapter 5, it's a story that I'm sure a lot of you, if you've read the Word of God, know where I'm talking. So if you have your Bibles tonight, I see Life Challenge does, others of you, open your Bible. John chapter 5, and it's the healing at Bethesda. It says in verse 1, later on, there was a Jewish feast. I'm reading out of the Amplified Festival, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. We don't know what this feast is. We don't know that it's the Passover or Tabernacle or Purim, or a lot of writers think that it was the Feast of Pentecost. But anyways, there was a Jewish feast, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, there's some things that you need to know about the Sheep Gate. If you've ever been there, studied this out, that the temple is right next door to the Sheep Gate here. And it says there was a pool there. There's a pool, which is called in Hebrew, Jewish Aramaic, Bethesda, having five porticos, alcoves, or colonnades. That means there was five porches here. Now, I've never understood this. Like, why would they build something like a hospital for people to just lie around? As we begin to read the story, we see that it's full of lame, it's full of the blind, it's full of sick people. Why would they intentionally build this place for people to just sit there agonizing with flies and all kinds of maggots and nasty stuff? But as you read this story, it goes back in the Greek, even to the Pool of Siloam, that this was actually a place that the richest, wealthiest people of their time came to. Before it was a place for the lame and for the weak, it was a place where people in politics, priests, judges, high-ranking people, this was a place where at one time where water flowed into it. It was a pool, and you could say in the first century it was like a country club where people got together. They would swim in there. Obviously they had places where you could get food, would eat together, they would drink together. And over time, they had one porch, and then there were so many people that belonged to it, you actually had to go through a gate to be even involved in it. You had to go, you had to be a high-ranking person to be a part of this pool. And then over time, they built a second one. And then they built a third one, and a fourth one, and a fifth one. And it was a place that was so amazing. But over time, what happened was this place, Bethesda, which means this, it is a house of mercy, of grace, and favor. Over time, what happened was is no water was coming back in. And over time, the rich people begin to leave, and the poor people begin to come in. The lame people begin to come in. What had happened was is the water didn't stir no more, and it became stagnant. And because it wasn't having anything happening in there, it became stagnant even more. And this reminds me in our walk with Christ, the things that we don't feed, I'm telling you, will become stagnant. You look at something like this pool that used to be so excited. I look at men in here that at one time you may have been excited for the things of God, but because you didn't feed it anymore, it drew up and began to die. See, my son Anson's here. Anson, will you do something for me? Will you come up here? This is my boy Anson. He's 9 years old. Will you do something for me? This is on the spot. Will you do a backflip? Come on, man. Will you do one? All right. Can you do one, not a backhand swing, but a backflip? Can you do just regular backflip? What if you stand on this right here and I hold it? You won't do one? Come on. Will you do one for us? Why not? Come on. Why not? Why are you being a weenie? Do it. Do it. You can do it. Come on, you can do it. Do it. Oh, my gosh. He can do a backflip great. I don't know why he won't do it. I'll give you 20 bucks to do it. Come on, jump. Do it. Do a backflip. All right, sit down. Give him a hand. Didn't he do good? All right. You know, at his age, I used to could do that. Y'all want to see me do it now? Yeah, that's what I thought. We'd have to reconstruct the stage and my kneecaps, right? Wouldn't that be horrible? But I'd like to see Jeff. Jeff, where you at? You come up here and do us a backflip. Come on, boy. Come on. I know you could. But here's the thing. At one time, I could do a backflip, but 450 pounds ago, yes. I married a pretty woman, and she cooks for me real good. Precious sweets. Come on. And over time, I begin to feed the wrong thing. Amen? And so I want to bring that into your context. This country club place now has dried up, and it's full of a bunch of sick people. Now it's a place, it's a house of mercy, grace, and favor. It says in these porticos, or in these places, these porches here, lay a great number of people who were sick, blind, lame, withered. And they were waiting for the stirring of water. We see from this, as you begin to study this word back in the Greek, of number of people that lay there, that means they were packed in like sardines. That means in the first cove of people, they were packed in there like sardines. In the second one, they were packed in there like sardines. Don't you know this place stunk? Don't you know this place was nasty? That word sick in the King James means impotent. It means that they were physical and financially broke. They couldn't have a job because they were so sick and they were piled in there inside those coves. The blind means this. Not only were they blind, they couldn't see, but they were men and women that didn't have eyes at all. These were lame people. That means they had lost limbs on their body. They didn't have arms. They didn't have legs. That word withered there is they were paralyzed. These were not minor ailments. Have you ever learned in people's life, whether it be a physical ailment, but I'm talking about spiritually. I've noticed in my life when somebody is hurt, they always find somebody hurt to hang out with. I've always found in my life when somebody is offended at something, they always grab somebody else to be offended with them. They always find somebody else to grab a hold of. Didn't that make you mad when he said that? I know it made me mad. Next thing you know, I'm believing the lie of the enemy. And I'm here to tell you right now that at that pool of Bethesda is the same thing that I see in the church today, and I see it amongst men. This is a man. We're talking about men things tonight. And if we're not careful, we may think to ourselves that we're okay, but if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves hanging out with the wolf pack of people who are hurt along the same lines of us. And I don't know about you. I don't want to hang around the lame. I want to hang around the line of the tribe of Judah. I don't want to hang around the sick. I want to hang around people that it's going to build me up. We rise and we fall to the level of our friends. And you may have some good friendships in here tonight, and this is why we have things like this, that you can build a brother up. But there may be some relationships that you need to get rid of. There may be some people in your life that pull you down, that try to put you in the sick pen, that try to put you in the lame pen every time that you leave here. But I'm here to tell you, God has more in store for you. And as we read this tonight, you'll see that God had a plan for this man. For an angel of the Lord, the Bible says, they were waiting for the stirring of the water. For an angel of the Lord went down into the pool at appointed seasons and stirred up the water. The first one to go in after the water was stirred was healed of his disease. This word healed there, another translation says you'd be made whole. This actually means to get your life back. How many of y'all are thankful when you gave your life to Christ, it's like you got your life back? And there's times that even in your walk with Christ that you go through some valleys, you go through some hurts, you go through some maybe a divorce, you go through some breakups, you go through some things that that makes you shrink back and makes you kind of get back to this pool where everybody else is. But I'm here to tell you tonight, if you make a conscious choice, God will give you your life back. And it goes on, verse 5, it says, there was a certain man there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus noticed him lying there, knowing that he had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to get well? Now think about this. This is how good our God is. There's a lot of people that are lying there. In fact, we saw that there was all these men that were lying there. It already said it in the scripture that there was people that were lying there that were sick, people that were lying there that were lame, people that were lying there that were blind. But Jesus, when he saw him lying there, used the same text, he saw something different about him. You know what I believe he saw? I believe he saw, looked past his physical ailment, and he saw something in his spirit that he didn't see in anybody else. He saw something in him, because I'm telling you, whether you know it or not, your spirit will tell on you and your outward appearance. Your spirit will always tattle on you. There's times where I've seen people that are so depressed and so hurt and so messed up in a marriage that you can actually physically see them bent over because of something aching on the inside of them. And I'm telling you, I believe through the eyes of the Spirit, Jesus passed over blind, lame, and he saw one of them. Aren't you thankful that God looked past your family? Aren't you thankful that he looked past all the other people and he saw you and said, there's something on the inside of you I want to fix. There's something in you that I want to grab a hold of. You may can lay here with everybody else, but there's something that God has in store for your life. Aren't you thankful that he went through all the crack houses to get to you? Aren't you thankful that he went through all the family reunions of all the booze and all the things? Aren't you thankful that he went through all those men in military to grab your heart, Eddie? Aren't you thankful tonight? Come on, men. Aren't you thankful that he moved through all that? I know I am, but he saw something in him. He was lying there just like everybody else, but he saw something in his spirit. I want you to think about this guy. This guy, 38 years he had been there. I'm sure in 38 years he'd saw loads of people get their eyesight back. I'm sure in 38 years he'd saw many lame people be healed that had been thrown in the water. I'm sure he'd seen loads of people that had limbs that grew back, and there he was. I'm sure when he went there, he had faith. But over time, it got worse and worse and worse. How many of y'all's in here today, you saw God answer something in somebody's life, but you thought, what about me, God? What about me? I'm here to tell you tonight that God is looking at you. You may feel lame on the inside of you. You may be feel like inconsiderate. You may be at a place in your marriage that's very hard right now, or you as a dad, that you have a wayward son or you have a wayward daughter. I'm here to tell you that God sees you. But God saw something in him that he didn't see in everybody else. He saw something in him that he had given up, that he was throwing in the towel. Men, have you ever been at that place where you've wanted to throw in the towel? I'll lift my hand. Where you wanted to throw in the towel, but God saw something in him. He walked over all of them. Think about it, 38 years. At first he was excited, but now he was at a place that he wasn't excited anymore. He says to him, do you want to get well? Meaning this in the Greek, he says, do you want your life back? Do you want your life back? Now I want you to think about the change. When he changed, well, if you get your life back after 38 years of being lame, I thought about this a couple days ago. He's going to have to get a job. He ain't going to have to live off the government anymore and the breadcrumbs that they throw him inside the pool. But now he's going to have to get a job. Now he's going to have to change, and he's going to have to go get hooked up with people. He may have to go get on a computer and learn some computer skills. Come on, I'm talking some practical things right now to you guys. That when God does something in your heart, you can't continue to do the same thing. You've got to make yourself better. You got to fight the good fight. He says, would you like your life back? And the invalid answered. He just starts to babble. Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool where the water is stirred up, and while I am coming to get into it myself, someone else steps down ahead of me. In fact, you read this in the Greek, that means he was just babbling. How many times do we come up with excuse after excuse after excuse? Why haven't we been getting in the Word of God? Why haven't we been in prayer? Why haven't we been the faithful man of God that we're supposed to be, the husband over our wife, and the dad we are to be over our kids? He just begins to babble and babble and babble. And what I love about this is Jesus interrupts him. Jesus said to him as he's babbling, get up, pick up your pallet, and walk. I love it that he talked to him like a man. Aren't you? Quit being a crybaby. Come on. I believe he talked to him like a man. If it was a woman, I believe it would have been different. But he said, listen, quit making excuses. You're a man. Can I talk to the men tonight? Do we have any ladies in here? I hope not. Leave if you are. But can I talk to the men? Come on. Especially in a Christian home. You need to be a man. You need to get up. Get off your pity party. And you need to lead your family the way God has called you to lead your family. Be a man about it. I believe a tough man. I mean, all of these things. I love manly things, but not as much as I love the Lord. Amen? And I love it that he interrupts him. Hey, you can be a crybaby all you want to. This is the TLB. The Travis Lee Bennett version, not the Living Bible. But I believe he interrupted him. He said, listen, hush, shut up, get up, pick up your pallet and walk. You know, there's times where your pastor gets after you. And there's times if they're really men, they're going to get after you and say, hey, get off the pity train. And it's time to put your, big boy pants on. And it's time to get back to work. I don't care if so-and-so said this about your work. I don't care if, at your workplace, inside your cuticle, that he said something to you or whatever. Be a man. Go to work. Be a man. Pick up your pallet and walk. You guys get anything out of this tonight? He interrupts him. He said, immediately the man was healed. I'm telling you, it's something about being obedient. It's something about us doing things in the natural that God puts the supernatural with it. As he got up, he was healed. Immediately, man was healed and recovered his strength, and he picked up his pallet and walked. What he did is what I don't always see people do when they give their life to the Lord. He got up and he got moving. When you get saved, you need to get moving. Amen? When you get saved, that's not the time, all right, I answered the altar call. Game over. No, that's the time you get moving, baby. You get inside this thing. You get on your knees and you pray and you seek the Lord. You in a praise and worship service, come on, you lift your hands. You seek the Lord. You thank him that he gave you a second chance. That's when you get moving. You get moving and you move away. You flee sexual immorality. You put the cell phone down. Come on, who am I talking to? You don't listen to the things that you listen to anymore. You don't speak the way that you speak to anymore. You get moving. You don't stay in the place that you were. What I loved about the church at Thyatira, he says, I love the things that you're doing now and how you've moved on from the things you did at the first. And I'm here to tell you, man, if you're going to be the man that God's called you to be and do the things God's called you to do, you can't stay right there in that chair. You need to get up out of that chair and you need to move. In your walk with Christ. If you're going to be the dad God's called you to be, you need to move. You need to read the Word of God. You need to seek His face. You need to move. Come on, men. You need to get tough. That's why we're here tonight. It said, immediately the man was healed, recovered his strength, picked up his pallet and walked. He began to move. Now that day was the Sabbath. It says this about it. So the Jews kept saying to the man who had been healed, it's the Sabbath, and you are not permitted to pick up your pallet because it is unlawful. Now, you need to know something about the Sabbath. I've never been to Israel. I plan on going. I can't wait to go. But they say on the Sabbath, like if you're inside of a elevator, you will get stuck in an elevator as soon as it turns Sabbath. Because they say absolutely no work on the Sabbath. Because pressing of a button pushes electricity, and this is way too much work on the Sabbath. They have what's called the Sabbath walk. You can only walk like 100 steps on the Sabbath. So mama better have everything cooked in the kitchen, everything. I mean, it all needs to be done on the Sabbath. But isn't this something? It may be even people of God. Now he's in the temple. He's right next door to the temple. So he picks up his pallet. He walks. He's now in the temple, and there's people talking him out of moving. And I'm going to tell you, in your same walk with Christ, when you get to moving after 38 years of being lame, blind, or whatever ailment's been on your body, in your spiritual walk with Christ, there's going to be people in your life that's going to talk you out of moving. There's going to be people that talks you out of moving. But I'm here to tell you, I mean, it's like you get saved. You came straight in from the bar. You answered the altar call. And you were always the one to buy the beer. Now everybody wants to buy the beer. Isn't that the truth? That's the truth. Everybody wants to, I'll pay for the night. Just come with me. It's that Jezebel spirit trying to talk you into some things. And I'm here to tell you tonight, keep moving. Look at your neighbor and say, keep moving. He said, it's Sabbath, and you are not permitted to pick up your pallet because it is unlawful. He said, get back in your bed. Basically what that means. Put the pallet down, get back in your bed. And there's some of you, at one time you picked up your bed, but you've quit moving. And you've listened to the voice of the enemy, and you've got back in your bed. It's time to get out of the bed. Can I tell you tonight, men? It's time to get out of the bed. You know what happens in the bed. He answered them, the man who healed me and gave me back my strength was the one who said to me, pick up your pallet and walk. They asked him, who is the man who told you to pick up your pallet and walk? Now the man who had been healed, this time it doesn't mean would you like to get your life back. This translation in the Greek actually means that he was aggressively made better. Now the man who had been healed or aggressively made better did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away unnoticed since there was a crowd in that place. But it says afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you are well. You know what I love about Jesus? And can I tell leaders in this room, a good leader always follows up. What I love about Jesus is he never stops pursuing us. That even after he was healed, he still followed up with him and found him in the temple and said, see, you are well. That translation, see there, it means wow. Even Jesus was blown away at how good he was doing. You know why he was doing good? It's because he was moving. Can I tell you tonight? You know why he was doing so good that Jesus was blown away? It's because he was moving. He said, stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. You know what this means right here? He said, keep moving and don't open the door to the enemy. What did he tell the girl, Jairus, when she was healed? After she was healed, in the practical, he did something. He said, now get her something to eat. It's the same way with, as Pastor talked about tonight, the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. He said, now go and sin no more. There's mercy and there's truth. I forgive you. But the truth of the matter is, don't do it again. Amen? That's true repentance. But what I love about this story is here's a guy. He said, don't open the door to the enemy anymore. And as I just begin to read this text this week, over and over, of talking to you guys tonight, I want to ask you the question, are you like the pool of Bethesda, where at one time it was a thriving place? You could look at your walk with Christ and it was something that you could say that people were jumping off the diving board. If you could look in your spiritual walk, if you could just look inside of you, that man, things were flourishing. People were suntanning. It was a good deal. God was in the midst of you. I mean, you were living your best life. But over time, you begin to sink back, and you're now in a pool today that's become stagnant. And you're just waiting for these little glimpses and these little moments to stir the water in your life. Are you that man tonight? If you are, I believe you don't have to leave here that way. I believe that tonight, he can says you can have your life back. And I'm telling you, I go through some ups and I go through some downs, but if God be for me, who in the world can be against me? I'm telling you, I want to be at a place where I'm never in the rocking chair of life. I want to be in a place where I'm always moving. God, I want what you have in store for me. I refuse to stay at the place that I am, but I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to pick up my mat, and I'm going to follow what God has in store for my life tonight. Amen? Let's stand to our feet, men. That's all I have for you. But I want to ask you, who's here tonight? I want to ask men. Come on, I know I'm talking to men. And I want to ask you this question. Are you in the room tonight, and you can say, I want to be mano-a-mano here. You don't need to be. Maybe in your physical life, you're sitting down. Maybe in your physical life, you feel lame. Maybe in your physical life or in your spiritual life, you feel shrunk back or at a stagnant place. You can see it in your marriage. You can see it as you parent your kids. You can see it whatever it is inside your job. You can see those things. And you can feel it in that atmosphere. I'm here to charge you tonight. Get up. Get up. Quit rambling. Quit making excuses. Get up. If there's any time to get up, tonight's the night. Get up. Pick up your pallet and walk. Don't get back in the bed, but let's keep moving what God has in store for our lives. Amen. Who is that tonight? Who am I talking to? Amen. I see these hands. Praise the Lord. Just keep your hand raised. We're here, men. We're men tonight. There's nothing easy about this other than you're going to have to start moving. You're going to have to put the next foot out in front of you. There's some things that I know tonight. I know there are some things that you're already thinking of that you're going to have to just buck up and do it. You know, and at first, leading your family, it may be awkward. It may be awkward standing up and saying, you know what, when your kid comes in and praying for him. It may be awkward. But you know what, as you take those steps and you keep moving, come on, grab your wife's hand tonight when you go home and say, you know what, we need to pray together. We need to read the word together. And it'll be baby steps at a time. And then you'll look back and say, you know what? I once was at a stagnant place. But this night, a men's night, I believe tonight that God is stirring the water. And God is stepping over everybody. And he sees your spirit because he sees your hand raised. He sees your hand raised and he wants you to be made whole. He wants you to have your life back. Come on, men. Get your life back. Oh, I pray right now by the power of God. I pray for these, Lord, that have their hands raised. Let's say, Lord, tonight, my heart was stretched. Tonight, there was something that the Word of God broke open on the inside of me. And so, Lord, I pray for these that have their hands raised, that have been vulnerable and say, Lord, I need a touch from you. And God, I just pray that you begin to do something in their life. I pray, Lord, that their wives see it. I pray, God, that their kids see it. I pray, Lord, that their coworkers see it. I pray, Lord, that you just begin to do what only you can do, God. Lord, give them supernatural strength. open eyes to see, open ears to hear. Lord, I pray that they would taste and see that the Lord is good and that His mercy endures forever. I pray that they'd not be men that would sit on the fence, but they would be men that would stand up and step up to the plate and be who You've called them to be. Lord, that they would see a new boldness in them. Oh God, I call upon You and I thank You, Lord, that You are making things new. You're making things new. Lord, do a work in them. Lord, as they've been obedient, as they've stood up and said, God, if You can use anything, Lord, You can use me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website at renovlifechurch.org or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.